This is Kevin Burke from the Department of Kinesiology, Leisure, and Sports Sciences at East Tennessee State University. Thanks for joining Burke on Mayberry. This next episode is an episode I just really love, and I could probably say that about most of the Andy Griffith Show episodes, but this one's entitled Opie's Hobo Friend. It was aired on November 13th, 1961. It was written by Harvey Bullock and directed by Bob Sweeney. You may remember this episode. It was starring Buddy Ebsen. Boy, Buddy Ebsen, did he not have a great television career? And his career could have even been greater in the movies if it wasn't for an unfortunate incident, which most of you probably know about. But he did an excellent job in this episode as Dave Brown, but just very quickly, most people know Buddy Ebsen for his portrayal of Jed Clampett on the Beverly Hillbillies, another funny, hilarious show. Buddy Ebsen was also, believe it or not, you know, you may remember Barnaby Jones, too, in the where he was a detective there. I loved that show. But what a lot of people may or may not know is that Ebsen was actually the first choice to play the Tin Man in the 1939 classic The Wizard of Oz. But he had to leave the movie when the makeup he was wearing got into his lungs and he nearly died from it. Of course, he was replaced by the great Jack Haley. So again, Buddy Ebsen, what a great career. But let's talk about this episode, Opie's Hobo Friend. The episode opens up with Andy and Opie driving in the squad car out by the lake, and as they're getting their fishing equipment out, Dave Browning walks up, and they say hello, and Opie has a little chat with Dave. Dave talks about talking to the fish, and Andy says a funny line like, well, if he says he can talk to him, he can, but I've just never met a fish that I really want to have a conversation with. So again, that good old down-home, homespun humor by Andy Griffith. So again, Andy and Opie go off to fish, and while they're gone, you see Dave Brown reach in the back of the squad car and take one of the sandwiches that I'm sure Aunt B made for him. And this sort of gives you an idea of what's going to happen for the rest of the episode, because Dave Brown's a hobo and he sort of lives off his wits. And let's just face the facts, he steals things to really keep himself going. Well, Barney catches him a couple times and arrests him and bring him back. And one funny scene, Andy says, Barney, would you quit arresting him? And it's so funny because, you know, he's committing crimes, but Andy's telling him to quit arresting him. This time he'd been arrested for vagrancy and loitering is what he had been arrested for. So Andy gave him a job doing hedge trimming at his house. And, of course, this upset Barney because Barney arrests a guy, and Andy, rather than put him in jail, gives him a job at his house. But, again, that's the way Andy thought. Andy knew Brown wasn't, a big danger. He just wanted to give him something to do and get his bushes trimmed as well. So you cut to a scene. So this is a cute scene where you see Opie and Brown in the front of Andy Griffith's house, say Andy Taylor's house, and he's getting ready to cut the hedges, and he says, we need to talk about it first, and you see Opie imitating some of the mannerisms that Browning does, and you hear Browning say this line, the most perfect day to start any job, tomorrow. And so Opie learns that from him. But one of the funniest parts of this particular scene is where Dave Browning's talking about how he's going to trim the bushes. Now, you need to talk about it before you just jump right into it. And Opie says, but Pa just normally lops off the tops. And Browning goes into his long explanation. And Opie goes, but Pa just, and Browning, he said together, just lops off the tops, I know. So, again, excellent writing for this episode. But what we begin to see here as the episode moves on, we begin to see the Brown's negative influence on Opie. Opie learns procrastination, and then there's a very excellent scene where Barney actually catches Opie playing hooky, and he brings him home where Andy and Aunt Bea are in the kitchen. And what I want you to pay attention to in this particular scene the next time you watch it is how Opie's acting. He does some great acting in this scene, and he looks so guilty and in trouble. The look on his face, you got to remember, he's just acting. This is Ron Howard acting. Again, Don Knotts has said repeatedly he thought Ron Howard's the best child actor he'd ever been around. Well, as the episode moves along, there's reports of a chicken missing, a pie missing, and right after those reports, and Barney's going crazy, wanting to go out and catch them and throw a dragnet over the town, and Barney's saying things like, oh, there's a reign of terror over the city, we need to throw up roadblocks, and Opie walks in and says he just had a nice meal with Mr. Brown, Browning and that he ate chicken and pie. So Andy knew what was going on, and so Barney was getting ready to go out and rest him, and Andy says, "You just stay here, I'll take care of it." And then I love this next scene where Andy talks with Brown about Opie. Now, he could arrest him for stealing right away, but basically the concern here turns from Browning to Opie, and that Andy basically tells Browning, you know, you're having a bad influence. And, you know, Browning sort of speaks up for his way of life. He says, I live off my wits. I have the courage to live away. Many people don't. And he says, you know, basically says, why can't you just let the little boy choose whether he wants to live your way or my way? And Andy has a good parent line here. He says, nope, he's too young. He said, he doesn't know right from wrong. And you know, can't let him make those choices yet. And what I really like about this scene is how Andy asks him to leave. He does it in a very firm way, and he really no funny business here, as you see from Andy. But what do you gather from this scene, and what happens in the next couple of scenes, is how you see the concern again is for Opie. So what happens is David Browning goes out, and he steals, actually doesn't steal, he takes a purse out of the trash can. It's one that Aunt Bea had thrown away, and he runs out in front of Barney. And Barney arrests him, and Barney thinks he's stolen Aunt Bea's purse. And what happens is that basically Dave Browning allowed himself to be caught because he knew, you know, he'd taught Opie all these bad things, that he wanted Opie to see him getting caught doing something bad, so Opie, you know, wouldn't listen to him, because he knew he had had a negative influence on Opie. And again, this Opie, Ron Howard's acting in these scenes are just so good. He doesn't have to say anything, just his facial expressions for such a young boy at this age is absolutely amazing. And I really love the way when Opie finally loses his faith in David Brown, he turns around and takes out the fishing lure that David Brown had given him and gives it back to him. He actually hangs it on the jail cell door. So again, what a touching scene. And again, the writing and the acting here is unbelievable. Finally, the last little scene you see is Barney's got a magic book, and he's trying to do a magic trick where he makes a quarter disappear and then reappear. And he's talking about how it takes years of training, and you have to work hard, be nimble. And then all of a sudden, Opie walks in and does a very similar magic trick in a matter of seconds. And Barney gets upset and he starts yelling and runs out of the courthouse. So again, what I love about this episode, again, is the caring that's involved. And that seems to be a major theme in the Andy Griffith Show. The caring for each other, but how in just a short amount of time the hobo Dave Browning turns to care for Opie, and how the whole episode starts focuses on Browning, then at the end focuses on Opie. So again, another great episode with the Andy Griffith Show. Now let's talk a little bit about background. One of the appeals of the Andy Griffith Show, and of course the mythical town of Mayberry, comes from the morality of the show. Again, the whole idea behind Mayberry is that most everybody who lives there is moral. Now, you know, again, if you watch closely, you're going to see Andy Griffith tell some little white lies, usually to protect the kid or protect Opie or something to get him out of a catch. But even that seems innocent when it happens. But one of the things about this is you got to realize that the morality that's shown in the show keeps Mayberry having its everlasting innocence. What we have in our complex worlds, where morals aren't simply black and white, we can literally watch in black and white for at least the first 5 years, right and wrong be determined. And it can be simple and clear and consistent on the Andy Griffith Show. And of course, Andy is the one that really shows all the common sense, the wisdom, and he's the judge, so to speak. And, you know, basically being the sheriff, you know, he has a sense of justice, but he has sympathy and understanding, which allows him to do things a little bit differently. So another aspect of the Andy Griffith Show that's important is the family unit. And this was, you know, established right at the beginning of the series. And again, without a mother depicted in Andy Griffith Show, but Aunt Bea and Opie, and basically the whole town becomes a family. But there's a strong father-son relationship depicted in the series. And again, it's done in a way that people can take it and don't feel like that the show's moralizing to them. There's so many moral lessons that Andy gives to Opie based upon what goes on in the stories. And there really aren't any empty platitudes there. Now, again, I know some people who've actually taught their Sunday school lessons based upon the Andy Griffith Show. So again, it's amazing that we can watch a show, be entertained, find it humorous, love the show, but learn right and wrong and morality from the show. So again, that's another appeal of the Andy Griffith Show. Well, What's the trivia question? I hope next time you watch this episode, or maybe you'll be able to get this off the top of your head, but I want to know, what was the name of David Brown's homemade fishing lure? Again, what was the name of David Brown's, and he said spell it with an E on the end if you watch the episode. What was the name of David Brown's homemade fishing lure? And this is the lure that he gave to Opie. If you know the answer and like to email it to me, don't hesitate to email it to me at burkek@etsu.edu. Or if you just want to run the answer through your head and go to my website, burkonmayberry.com, you'll find the answer listed there. Again, I appreciate all you listeners and the emails I'm getting about the Burke on Mayberry podcast. I hope you're enjoying them as much as I'm enjoying putting them together. And if you have any questions or comments, don't hesitate to contact me at burkek@etsu.edu. And as they would say to Mayberry, in Mayberry, my best to you and yours. Thanks for listening to Burke on Mayberry.